It's time for Trackside Tonight with Randy Dye, Joe Linebarrier, and Billy Osberg. Trackside Tonight is brought to you by Daytona Dodge and Chrysler, DeLand Motorsports, Mopar Speed Shop, Volusia Speedway Park, and by Valvoline. To get in the action, call 239-0033, star 1150, or toll free at 1-800-927-0033. Now, here's Randy, Joe, and Billy.
Well, good evening and welcome to Trackside Tonight. I'm Billy the Kid. No Joe Limeberry, he's in Mexico drinking up the tequila. And no Randy Dye, he's at the Magic game. But tonight I have a special guest in the studio, Tanya Moschel, who is the general manager of Volusia Speedway Park. She's going to sit in with us tonight and talk a little bit about some of the things she's got coming up this year at Volusia Speedway Park, as well as this week. Auto Scrapes Group will be there with the Florida Sprint Cars. Good evening, Tanya.
Hi, Billy. It's good to be here. Yep, this week coming up at Volusia Speedway, we have the Florida Sprint Cars, Auto Scrapes Group, as you so fondly call them, and we're really excited to have them on the ticket, along with our own modified Sportsman, Street Stock, Four Cylinders, and Mini Stocks. We got a really full bill Saturday night.
So. Yeah, we're going to have a good show Saturday night. So if you can make it out, actually, right this minute, the first person to call will get two tickets to Saturday night's show. Is that correct?
That would be correct. 239-0033.
Star 1150 on your single AT&T wireless phone, or 800-927-0033, and that's a toll-free call. Tonight, the first thing I want to do is tomorrow would have been the birthday of one of the racing's greatest, well, to me, my greatest hero ever, Dale Earnhardt. So I'd like to say, I know he's gone, but I'd like to say happy birthday to Dale, as I do every year, the day before his birthday. We touched on the Florida Sprint Car Auto Scrape. It's going to be at Volusia this Saturday night. Also, too, the Ken Kenny Late Model Series will be at Lake City Speedway for the North Florida State Championship, as well as the Monster Truck Show will be at Ocala Speedway. The Monster Truck Show is a Monster Jam, which Grave Digger, and he has five other trucks. You can go to ocalaspeedway.com and check that out. But I believe it's Friday night, 7:30. I'm not sure the time is on Saturday, but he also has a Sunday show. He has four shows. But you can go to Ocala Speedway and check that out. Yesterday's Cup Race. I mean, I figured Gene would be calling in any minute, but yesterday's Cup Race I thought was pretty good. At the end, I thought in the beginning it was a little boring, as it was last year in June, but this time a little bit more side by side. Last year in June, they were single file, follow the leader. This time it seemed like up to halfway or a little bit after halfway, it got a little more racy, which, you know, I like to watch that, especially at the super speedways. And a little bit, I mean, you get on the smaller speedways, without a doubt there's going to be some beating and banging, but I thought yesterday wasn't too bad. I thought the two wrecks that they had, the two big wrecks, could have been avoided. But, you know, it's hard to point fingers at anybody. And I'm not saying that because I'm an Earnhardt Jr. fan. I'm saying that when you get these guys that close together and they don't touch for 150 laps and then all of a sudden they get together, maybe they just feel like it's time to go to the front. I didn't get to see Saturday's race. I was reading a little bit about the Kevin LePage incident, and I did see a replay of it, and I noticed today that Kevin LePage did apologize. I don't know if you've seen it or if you've seen it, Mark, but Kevin LePage came off the pit road and blended into the traffic before the blend line and caused a big pileup, like 14 cars in the at the front of the field. I know Carl Edwards and a few of the other guys was in it. And he did apologize today and say that he made a mistake. And for him to step up and say today that he made a mistake and that he's sorry, that takes a lot. And he did say that he felt like he's just now starting to get the respect that he should got, and now he's got to re-earn it all over again. And I know that LePage didn't mean to do it on purpose, and I'm not speaking for Kevin LePage because I didn't see the wreck. But, you know, as I tell our drivers at Volusia Speedway Park all the time, if somebody wants to wreck you on purpose, he's not going to just turn you around. Right. I mean, so I think if LePage did it on purpose, it could have been a whole lot worse than what it was. And trust me one time, it wasn't a pretty sight when I saw the replay of it, but, you know, I know that Kevin didn't mean to do it on purpose, and I'm sure everybody's been down the same road, and everybody's probably saying it's like a rookie mistake, but it wasn't. I mean, I know he didn't mean to do what he did, and, you know, that's where a spotter would come in good for everybody. So, yeah, I wanted to touch on that a little bit. I didn't get to see the race, but congratulations, Tony Stewart, for picking up the win on Saturday, and congratulations, Kyle Busch, for picking up the win yesterday, which a lap down Kyle Busch was for the whole race. Well, let's put her on the phone with us. Gene.
Hello, how are you?
How you doing, hon?
Pretty good, how about you?
I'm doing all right. The guys left me alone again.
I noticed.
They left me with Tanya, so in about 10 more minutes, I'm just going to turn the whole thing over to Tanya, and I'm going to get something to eat.
Then we'll have some fun.
Yeah.
Then you'll have some fun. Oh, well, okay. No, you talked about the Bush race Saturday. That was quite the wreck, I'll tell you. It's the one that somebody didn't really get hit besides Franchitti.
I guess the Franchitti wreck was before the big
wreck.
No,
it was the end of the Swindallen, I believe.
No, the Franchitti wreck was the first wreck. They said that he was sitting in the, I guess he had wrecked and then was sitting on the bottom of the track.
Yeah.
And Guzzelman hit him, and they said he's got a broken ankle.
Yeah, and apparently he's not racing Saturday night, according to today's paper.
Yeah, today I heard he's supposed to be out 3 to 4 weeks because they're looking for another replacement. That was pretty neat. They put Strimmy in the car. I like Strimmy. He's a good friend of mine, and he helps out a buddy of mine, Randy Weaver. And Strimmy's a good guy, but I noticed that Penske just picked up Strimmy at the beginning of the week, so I really think it's going to be tough for him to drive that car in the next 3 weeks. So I heard today they were looking for a driver.
Well, I know that according to today's paper, he's got commitments. Strimmy's got commitments somewhere else.
Right.
For Penske. So he can't do it Saturday night, so I don't know who's going to go in the car.
It's going to be interesting to see who they put in that car.
Oh, yeah, that car's been a disaster. I felt bad for Joe Nemechek yesterday, too.
Yeah, Nemechek had a good run going. He was pretty fast at the end, and then for them to get caught up on that last lap wreck. And same way, too, Elliott Sadler. He was on the show before this one.
Yeah, I know. I got a piece of that show.
Did you see the five men, or what do you call that, five wide?
Yeah.
Oh, God,
that was intense. Like, they don't ever do that, but now...
Who said they don't ever do that?
They haven't done it in a while.
Oh, okay, that's better.
Okay.
That's what I'm used to, guys, is five wide at Talladega, but I'll tell you what. My sister-in-law and I were planning on a trip to Talladega, but I don't think I want a heart attack yet.
I thought the Talladega race yesterday, like I said, was a lot better than the race in June. In June, they followed each other around, and it was like, to be honest with you, just like one of them's chasing a rabbit or something, like something you see on a dog track.
No, it's called a conga line, darling.
Okay, same. It's one big freight train.
And I have said to you before on Monday nights, it was a good time to take a snooze, you know?
Yeah,
didn't miss anything.
Remember last year when they had the Talladega race, I called it, instead of calling it the car tomorrow, the COT, I called it the circle of train, you remember?
Oh, yeah. And I kept telling you I had a nice snooze, too, remember?
Yeah. This year wasn't too bad.
This is a good one.
I didn't get to see the Bush race, like I said, on Saturday, but they said it was pretty good, too.
It was a good race, but that accident that Kevin LePage caused, that was unbelievable. It's one to... I'm surprised that both Kevin and Carl were not hurt.
Kevin said today that he thinks that wreck might have changed the outcome of the race. Do you think it did? Do you think Tony Stewart would have won if them guys up front hadn't got wrecked?
Oh, yeah, either that or Carlos was strong as usual, too.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, that had a lot to it. I was just, you know, I looked at Kevin. And Kevin LePage, I mean, the guy's been around for a number of years. He is no stranger to racing, and to pull out like that, what was he thinking? That reminds me of the time when Dale Earnhardt sent Rusty Wallace for a ride when he pulled out in front of him at Talladega. After the race interview with Rusty, he said, yeah, he knew better. The Earnhardt was coming down with a full steam ahead, and he pulls out in front of him. And that's just what this one, he reminded me of, this Kevin LePage, what he did. But I'm just so surprised that nobody really got hurt other than that.
When I saw the replay of that wreck yesterday, or actually Saturday night when I got home early Sunday morning, I was like, man, they were lucky because Carl Edwards got airborne, didn't he?
Yeah, That's why there was no rear end to LePage's car. He hit him bad. I was surprised.
You want to put him on the air with us? Is that what you're saying?
What are we doing?
Just put him on the air with us. Just push the button, bud. Jimmy.
Hey.
What's going on, bud?
Oh, get in there, guy. What's going on?
I don't know. It's me, you, and Gene, and Tanya. We're all on one radio here together.
Oh, well, this is really going to get interesting.
It's going to get good in about 5 more minutes. But we even got the producer in with it.
Let the games begin.
What's up, bud?
Oh, I was just checking in with you. You know, we're getting ready for Saturday night. Come up there to Volusia with the sprint cars and with Idle Scrape. And
we had your buddy Bud help us this weekend.
Yeah, and I appreciate you guys getting him in there. He enjoys coming up there.
He's a blessing to have. He's a great help.
He was getting a little practice for this weekend.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, well, you need him up there full time. He's a good boy.
Yeah, he's a hustler now.
Oh, yeah. Well, he just gets, you know, it's fun getting out there. Yeah, you and I didn't get to see much racing this weekend, so I ended on Armadale Saturday night with the Antiques.
How'd that go?
We had 7 cars. We had 8 cars. We were down a little bit because a bunch of them went back Kentucky and up in New York, and we picked up a couple, and And it worked out all right down there.
Do you have anybody in Longwood or Orlando that is not a part of your push truck gang that wasn't going to come out Saturday night that might want to come out that we can give two tickets to?
That's not part of my push truck gang?
Yeah.
Well, I have a good, hard-working son-in-law. I could use him.
Is he going to push trucks? Are you going to ride with you? Is he going to push sprint cars?
No. You know, he's a hard-working construction man with three kids.
And was he not coming? Was he probably wasn't coming this weekend?
Right.
Okay.
I saw Isle Scrape yesterday. I was up there to Putnam County and, you know, organizational meeting up there.
Yeah, I heard.
Yeah, they're coming along. I don't know. I've known that Mike Bucka down there that's going to be the PR man. He uses one of our push trucks from New York. So, I don't know. They got a long ways to go. You know how hard it is to try to run that place.
So, it is no easy task.
Yeah. You know, it's just, you know, just as bad as trying to run a NASCAR team and being out there and being head of the pack every time. So
I will tell you one thing. I hope they do succeed. But I know it's going to be extremely tough. I mean, I listened to the interview with Bill Fisher this week or last week that he done on Real Racing USA.
Uh-huh.
He did an interview, and just listen to him. They're trying to do it the same way they did it in the 70s and in the 80s in Hialeah.
Yeah.
Well, the problem is this ain't the 70s, and it sure ain't the 80s, and we ain't nowhere near Hialeah.
No.
And neither is that place.
Well, Hialeah, you had to have a tetanus shot to get on there anyway. So.
Well, I mean, people got to understand one thing. I mean, like I said, I'm not going to say anything bad about the racetrack and the race facility because I was there for a year. And don't get me wrong, I like the place. I mean, it just needs a lot of work. But it seems like every year it has the same problem over and over that when the season's done, you don't know if it's opening back up or not.
Well, yeah.
And then this always seems to be a problem. Well, it always seems to be the same group that wants to get it open. But then again, the same group doesn't want to put the money up to open it. They want somebody else to do the dirty work for them, and that's the hardest part. You know, and that's what I was trying to say. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like I said, you got to understand, the old-timers are going to think that this is going to work when the new-timers know it's not going to work. I wish them the best, and I hope everything goes well for them. But right now, no matter what, it's like shooting the eight ball, and the eight ball is set behind the whole rack. So we'll see what happens.
Oh, yeah. You know how much dedication you got to put in these places, and Tanya knows, and it just takes a lot of work, you know, to make it going. I know how many hours you spent.
I spent a lot. Remember the first part, I was ready to gung ho, and about three quarters through the year, remember, I come over there and hid behind your Jeep. Remember?
This is the truth, folks. You've been listening. This is the truth.
Oh my!
But you know what, man? I will tell you, we done a good job up there that year, and a lot of things went well, and we showed a lot of people that it could be done, and that's why I say I think with enough hard work, the place could be up and going. But right now, I just think you're so far behind that it's going to take a lot to get going. And Bill worked for me when I was there. He was the tech guy, and he's a great guy, and I wish him the best of luck. The other two guys, the Bucka guy, I don't know, and the guy Clarence Smith, whoever he may be, I don't know who he is either. But I wish them all the best of luck. I saw their board of directors, and I was kind of shocked at a couple of them because it wasn't guys that I thought it would be. But I wish them the best of luck, and I hope everything works out for them.
Well, Clarence is Mike's future father-in-law.
Who's that?
Clarence Smith.
Is Mike Bucka's future father-in-law?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know who he was.
Yeah, I got to meet the whole bunch. So right. It was nice. You know, we've been involved with that track for 10-12 years.
Yep.
Ever since Potter had it. Yeah. So, you know, we've seen a little bit of that. But anyways,
we'll see you Saturday, right?
You'll see me here Saturday. And
when this show's over, give me a call on my cell phone, and we'll see if we can get your son-in-law two tickets to get in.
Okay, that's cool.
All right.
Tanya,
yes.
we still got a couple dates open.
I'm still looking at it to see where it's going to fit. I haven't given up yet, so I'm just working through the schedule that's a little tighter than I like it to be at this point. So, but there's a couple days. I may ask you if you've got some flexibility on a couple as well. So.
All right, well, we'll talk Saturday night.
Sounds good, Jimmy.
Okay, y'all have a good time tonight.
We'll see you then,
Thanks.
Bud.
All right, bye-bye.
Gene, are you still there?
Oh, yeah.
Gene, give me a few minutes. I got a caller on the phone calling out of Wildwood, Florida. Most everybody knows him as a famous asphalt racer, but Saturday night he cut his teeth on the dirt at Volusia Speedway Park won the first ever heat race that he ever drove in on dirt. Mr. Wayne Anderson. Wayne, how you doing, bud?
Hey, good. Good. Glad you have me on.
Man, Saturday night, they had told me earlier in the week that you were coming, and I was like, I went to Ocala to see you a couple weeks ago, and I know you didn't get to make as many as you wanted, but also know that you had been practicing a little bit. You know, talk to me a little bit. You've won everything, well, I say everything, most everything there is to win on asphalt. Your dad is Dick Anderson, who is the Florida short track ace of the country, whatever you want to call him, Dick Anderson. I used to watch him race at Bronson when I was a kid. I watched you race your first ever late model race at Bronson when I was just a kid. And now for you to win as many as you've won, the Powell Memorial, I mean, I'm almost positive saying you've won the Snowball Derby. I mean, anything that has money behind it or has a prestige name in asphalt racing, you've won it, and now you're cutting your teeth on the dirt. What's it like, man?
Well, I'll tell you what, it's a lot of fun. And they tell me that I try to keep my car looking too nice. I gotta get used to the wrinkles in the quarters and all that.
Right.
And I just, for 22 years, I've been on asphalt. And, you know, you're correct. And I've won every major short track race. I've won the All-American 400. I've won Bristol. I've won Myrtle Beach. I've been very, very fortunate on asphalt to do the things that I've done and accomplish what I've accomplished. But saying that, I just felt like it was this time to do something different. I was just getting bored and tired of what I was doing week in and week out. And I love racing, but when you do it like I do it and race as many races that I've run, it just gets old. And I went to Speed Weeks and watched them at Speed Weeks and went to East Bay. I wanted to do this, and it's very challenging for mine because everything that you do on a dirt car is exactly the opposite of what you do on an asphalt car. So that in itself has been challenging. And, you know, I won, I don't know if people know, but I won the last asphalt race they had at Volusia, the last big race they had there. I won that as an all-pro race.
Yep.
And then I won the first one when they paved the little track.
Yep.
And then I haven't been there since 1998.
Wow.
So it's been 10 years since I've even been on the facility. And so we went out the other night, and here I am. I mean, I felt like a duck out of water. And went out and made a couple laps when it was wet, and I was like, holy mackerel. And then they told me I was starting up front, and I won my heat race, but let me tell you something. David Clegg had us all beat in heat race. I got very fortunate and won. But here I am starting on the pole and thinking, man, how hard do I drive down into one, you know? So when Clegg backed out of the gas, that's when I backed out.
You know,
but
we were talking.
Go
ahead.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
But it was just a different world for me, and I really didn't know what to expect. And winning it was just a lot of luck. But I feel like I've got a great race car. I mean, Barry Wright. I remember as a kid he was with Buck Simmons, and so anyway, I went to him for a car, and I went to, most people don't know, but Byron Corey helped me when I just started racing. I didn't have nothing. I didn't have no money. And Byron took some parts I had, helped me build a motor, and I just never forgot that. And so when I went dirt racing, he was the first phone call I made. So I got a Byron Corey motor, and I got a Barry Wright car, and I feel like I got good stuff. It's just the car is probably way better than I am right now.
But let me ask you a question now. I mean, you've been an asphalt racer your whole life. Now here you have this dirt car in the shop, and you're like, do you just sit and look at it and like, what do I do next?
It looks like Chinese arithmetic.
That's what I thought. The reason why I say that is because I remember a couple weeks ago when you were at Ocala, and I believe the birdcage broke,
mm-hmm.
and you guys were talking about it. Me and I was standing there, and David Clegg was telling me that you was probably going to come to Volusia the very next night. Me and you were talking about having a spot for you to park and stuff like that, and I was like, man, it's just weird seeing Wayne with a dirt car load up in his trailer.
Yeah, it's weird for me, too. It really is. And, you know, a lot of people go, we don't never break a birdcage, so I felt like an idiot. I called Barry Wright on Monday. I said, listen, man, nobody had a birdcage like the one that's on this car. And I said, I just went down in the corner, and this thing made a hard right turn. I mean, like I broke an axle or something. And anyway, make a long story short, I sent the birdcage back to him, and he said it looked like just a bad casting of aluminum. And people tell me, I hit the wall, and that's what broke the birdcage. And hell, I don't know. I just didn't want to do it again.
Well, I don't think that. I think the birdcage broke. Didn't it feel to you? I mean, you know. I mean, as many race cars as you drove and as many times as you wanted Ocala Speedway, you had to know something broke.
I just went down the corner. As soon as I touched the gas, it turned dead right. If that would have been an asphalt car, they'd have been picking up pieces out there on the highway.
Yeah, that's. Wow. And I was talking to David about it, and I mean, I'll be honest. David is one of the nicest guys in dirt racing. And you know, I know that he's been helping you, and you guys have been helping each other back and forth. But between him and Byron Corey, you don't need me to tell you, but when it comes to dirt racing, you got two of the best right there, you know, right there with you.
Well, I tell you, you know, Byron says, I'm gonna get David to come over and give you a hand and everything. And I tell you, I can't tell you how much I've appreciated it, because I just, you know, they're talking a 21 tire, a 20, LM20, a 55. I don't know what that, you know, I just know that one's hard, one's soft, and trying to figure out what to put on. And, you know, I got a long, long ways to go. And believe me, I'd love to just get one of them aluminum motors and go travel around and run dirt cars, but I just know you got to crawl before you walk, and I'm just trying to go have some fun, but yet try to get a lot of experience while I'm at it.
I would have liked to see the look on your face when he told you that you could get a set of 20s or a set of 40s, but you had to cut them.
Well, let me tell you something. I've been cutting some tires. I've been looking at the internet and looking at the tread and how I should cut. I made two trips to Ivan at Lloyd's. I said, man, I know I'm probably looking like a fool here. I said, but just tell me, am I grooving this tire the right way? He goes, well, it'd be a little better if you turn that cipher upside down. You got it the wrong way. So I'm telling you, I'm truly green in all this, and just to be able to win a heat race the first night, that was just a total stroke of luck. But I do have good stuff, good equipment, and hopefully I get to, you know, be a little better behind the wheel. I got tangled up in that wreck the other night, and it knocked a toe out like 2.5 inches, and I just went out there. I just wanted to log laps. So I got 25 laps in. I think I finished in the top 10, and it was just a good night, but I hate that my car got beat up like it did.
Yeah, that's a part of it sometimes, and I know what you're talking about. Sometimes when you guys get together, you knock the quarter panels in a little bit, but they keep riding and keep racing like nothing's even wrong. But, you know, it's kind of weird, because growing up there, I watched Ocala when it started out dirt, and then it went to asphalt, and I watched Ivan at Lloyd, and now you're talking about Ivan at Lloyd, and Ivan at Lloyd is one of the best super dirt late model racers, not only in the state of Florida, but around the nation as well, as you know, and most people don't realize, but he is your Southern All-Star Regional Champion or Southern All-Star Champion, and that's nothing to bat your eye at. Smokey Madden, Chris Madden's won it like 3 or 4 times. But, you know, I was with y'all, you guys living around the same area, And I know Bresnahan just built him a dirt car, too, and he won, like, the first or second night out. Does it matter to you if you win in the next week or next 2 weeks or in the next month?
It don't matter at all to me. I mean, believe me, I go to the racetrack, I want to win just like the next guy. But
right.
I know that you have to pay your dues and earn it. And when I win, I want to feel like I earned it. I won a heat race the other night because somebody else fell out. So I don't feel like I earned no heat race
right.
win. I just happened to finish there, and I was very fortunate. But I want to come from the back and win like some of them guys I've seen there in speed weeks. And
right. And
I know that's a long way off for me. And, you know, Ocala, that's one of the main reasons why we got a dirt car, too. I went up there, and I had taken so much money out of that place as an asphalt track. And I feel like Ocala is a little bit of a part of me, and I wanted to be a part of the dirt thing with it. I know I got a lot to learn, and I'm just out there having fun, trying to meet new people. I mean, I come in the other night, the air cleaner's knocked off of it, everything's bent up under everything. And I'm telling you, there was more people coming out of their trailers to help me. I can't tell you how much it was appreciated, and it's just a completely different world than what I've been in for 20 years running asphalt.
Well, I will tell you, I mean, I used to help. I know you know Chris Lawrence. We got shocks from you a couple of times when we were racing our limited car, and you come to our shop, and I got out of that part of racing and got into being an official at the racetrack and started flagging Evolution Speedway Park around 10 years ago. And I really feel that both sides, the asphalt and the dirt side is unbelievable, and people don't understand it. The biggest problem is people go to the dirt track and they go home dirty and they don't go back. But they don't realize it's worth getting the dirt in your hair or in your eyes or getting your face dirty, knowing that the people next to you are not there to pick a scrap with you or worry about outrunning you. They're there to have fun, and everybody has a good time. And just like you said, it's more of a family fun time than it is going there and racing against each other. I mean, you know, as many asphalt races as you've been a part of, especially with you now and probably when you were younger with your dad, you understand, and you've probably seen it's just in a couple dirt races the biggest difference between the two of them.
Yeah, I tell you, there's a lot of difference, and a lot of people have taken me the wrong way over the years because, you know, they thought, man, what a jerk this guy is at the racetrack. He won't even speak. He don't look at you. He, you know, he don't have nothing to do with you. totally the wrong thing. It's just as soon as the races are over, I'm just one of the guys. But that's how I made my living for 20 years. It'd be like me going to somebody that works at a dealership and jumping up and sitting on their toolbox and trying to talk to them while they're working. They say, hey, after a little bit of it, they got things they have to do. Well, that's the way it's been for me for 20 years. I look at dirt racing as a complete just go have fun and make it as a hobby. I didn't look at what they pay. They say, well, they pay better than the asphalt. I don't know. I couldn't really tell you, but I didn't do it for that. I did it because I felt like I accomplished everything I needed to accomplish as a short track racer around the Southeast. I've done it. I've won it. And I wanted to go do something that was a challenge to me. And in asphalt cars, it's anymore. It's 85% car and about 15% driver.
You're exactly right.
The dirt, I feel like it's totally the other way. It's about, the driver can pick the throttle, pick a different lane, take the bottom, take the top, and that's what I love about it.
You know, I guess the biggest question I wanted to ask you tonight was, how's your dad taking it?
You know, it's kind of weird. My relationship with my dad's like oil and water.
Right.
I don't think I've spoke to my dad in 3 months.
Oh, boy.
So, it's just one of the things. Me and him have had to do the same thing to make a living, and it's probably separated us more than it ever has over the years, because I was doing the same thing he was doing for a living. And so, at times I'm out there taking money out of his pocket or vice versa. So it's really took its toll as far as a relationship I have with my dad over the 20 years.
Well, the biggest thing is, I mean, not trying to cause any commotion, but I know your dad loves you more than anything in this world. And I know when he looks at you, he's proud of you. But I'm going to tell you right now, when you've won everything there is to win in asphalt racing, don't get me wrong, you've earned every bit of it, man. You haven't, nobody, and I know people say that, well, he's only good because his dad's Dick Anderson. That's not true, Wayne. I saw you the first night you raced at Bronson Motor Speedway. I saw you the first night you ran, and I knew what it was like. I mean, when you and your dad race neck and neck or whatever, I know people don't understand that, but everybody, no matter what, it's always the same thing. It'd be the same way when Cal Ripken kids come along. It'd be the same way. He's only good because of Cal Ripken, and that's not true in this situation. I know that.
Well, yeah, and that's true. Over 20 years, my dad has never put one dime into my racing, not one red cent. People think that. When I was over at his shop, he charged me rent.
Right.
I had to earn, and I mean, there's people like Byron Corey that have been around forever that know that.
Right.
And, it's in a lot of ways, it has really, changed me as a human being. I mean, it is really, I look at things a whole lot different than I used to. And, I've been very fortunate, had a lot of success, and I'm able to sit back a little bit and I make a good living, and I can kind of go and do what I want now. And it's kind of funny because I look at Ivan at Loy, I watched him last week or 2 weeks ago, blew him away at Ocala, blew him away at Volusia.
Right.
And, it's kind of funny. He was kind of getting in the dirt when I was getting into asphalt, and that kind of reminded me of myself. It was like looking at myself out there, and, the guys earned it, had to come up, him and his dad. They never really had a lot of money, and they did it the hard way, and I respect that. And I can say I'm just thrilled to be a part of it. I've done several radio interviews, and I told him, I really kind of feel embarrassed through these radio interviews because I haven't really done anything. And but it's been a privilege to be on them and to be able to talk tell the people that are into dirt racing, what it is to come there and park next to them, and they're all good people.
Right. And, I mean, to be honest, you walk around the pits on Saturday, and I know some people don't know who you are, and it ain't because they don't keep up with you, it's just they don't keep up with asphalt racing. And that's some of the things. But other people, trust me, man, when you unload that car and you backed it out of that trailer, every time I ride by on the four-wheeler, somebody say, is that Wayne Anderson? Yeah, well, you ain't got to ask me that. Look over there. You don't know who went, you know what I'm saying? But to be honest with you, the people in the pit area, I think, accepted you regardless. I know sometimes people are going to say, well, what are they going to think? It doesn't matter what they think, because once you get there, you realize you're just another racer to them, and that's what makes everybody in that pit area equal. But then again, if you need help, look what happened. They all showed up trying to give you a hand, trying to help you load your stuff up, fix your car. And that's what I'm saying. Everybody that seems to be affiliated with dirt racing, not that they're not in asphalt racing, they just seem to care about each other a little bit more.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I went there the week before just to watch David Clegg, and and I tried to help him a little bit. He seemed like he was by himself, and I'm just trying to, I'm like a sponge right now. I'm just trying to absorb all I can as far as all of it, and it's so much to try to take in. I can't inhale it all. And so, I was talking to David Clegg this morning, and it was, I told him, I said, man, it's going to be 3 weeks where I get to run this dirt car again. I'm committed to a couple asphalt races I have to go to the next 2 weeks, and it's like once I've done it now, I just want to keep doing it, and I can't. I got other obligations I do, and I feel bad that I can't go back and run my dirt car this week.
Right. One other thing I wanted to ask you. I mean, I don't really know how many times, because I'll be honest, I only ever went to one Powell Memorial. How many times have you won the Powell Memorial?
I've won it 6 times.
6 times. Now tell me what it would be like to win the first one on dirt.
Oh, that would be awesome. Huh? And, it would just the true feeling of accomplishment, just for the simple fact that I did it on dirt. But I can tell you right now, there's a lot of good racers probably going to be at that Powell Memorial. So if I can just qualify in the race and get to run it, I'll be pretty pleased just to be a part of the first one back on dirt.
Me and Patrick Williams used to play baseball in his backyard when we were kids. I grew up in Archer for a little while, and I was actually born in Gainesville and raised up there. But me and Patrick used to play baseball in his backyard when his brother Larry was racing, and Cecil was into it real good. And I was at Putnam County Speedway working the morning, that Saturday morning. Patrick Williams called me and told me he won the Powell Memorial in your car. And when he told me that he won, it was almost like I had won the Powell Memorial, because when we were kids and growing up, that's one thing that we always talked about. But I will tell you, with him now having a dirt car and you having a dirt car, I really wouldn't be surprised if you don't see one of the guys that's won it, with it being asphalt, win it on dirt. I mean, I wouldn't put it past it. Not saying that you couldn't do it this year, but I guarantee you in the next year or two, you will be a force on that deal. And I know it's a chance for Ivan, because he's never been able to do one on asphalt. But, like you were saying, there's going to be a lot of tough competition, but I think he's going to be one of the toughest ones there.
Oh, there's no question. I can just tell, I call it the psychological effect. I can just tell how the people are when he pulls in the pits. I feel like that's kind of what I had on him in asphalt. And it's just well deserved. The guy put his time in, and I was tickled to see him there. And I hope when I win my first race, I hope he's there. I hope
he's second.
All these guys, there's a lot of people that I don't really know their names real well, but I've seen them run. And I've seen their cars, and I have a lot of respect for them. And I think there's a lot of great dirt racers that just really haven't got the acknowledgments that they're due.
Right. And it's the same way as you. Like you were saying, that's one thing that we were talking about last week. When Ivanette pulls in the pit area, 70% of late model drivers just about give up. And it's the same way with you on asphalt. When you show up to any show, big show, little show, it doesn't matter. It's the same way. You can walk around the pit area and everybody's like, I'm running second or third tonight behind Wayne, and everybody you talk to is the same thing. You can only have one second place guy. If you got 30 late models, 29 of them are already considering they're running second.
That's true. But it took me, and I feel the same way for Ivan. It took me 20 years to earn that. I didn't. Nobody gave it to me. Nobody handed it to me. I was in my shop day and night, and working a job, then coming in working in my race shop to try to make it. And there's, like I say, there's a lot of talented racers out there that, like I say, they haven't got their true due. But I think it's just a matter of time. And I think you're going to see, and I've just noticed it here in the last couple of years, I think you're going to see a lot more dirt racers. The fans, I'm telling you, I cannot believe the fan base compared to the asphalt. I think asphalt racing right now is in trouble. I really, truly believe that. When I went to Ocala and seen what they were doing on a weekly show, then come up and watch the dirt race, I was just amazed at the people. Right. And I think dirt's getting ready to come on, and it's getting ready to come on strong and hard. And I think you're going to see a lot of asphalt racers slowly switch to dirt.
Well, when people go to see race, when you go to see a race, you go to see guys race side by side, 3-4 wide. And that's something that you really don't see. I mean, not trying to say anything about asphalt racing, but it's something you don't see anymore in the asphalt racing. I mean, the original night that Ocala went to dirt for the United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series they had, I mean, when those guys, when Shane and Ivan were side by side, and when they, that was midway through the race, but on the first lap when they were three wide going into three and four, everybody in the grandstand was standing. I mean, I'm telling you, you just don't see it anymore. It seems like in asphalt racing, you only see one or two good passes, and it's always when somebody's waiting and they save their tires and they make a move with 10 or 12 to go or less than that. You know, and I think that's what people go to see. I think you can actually run them out of the business if you bore them. You know, and I think that's what's happening. I think once a person gets bored, they're not going to go back.
Well, I think has really happened to asphalt racing, and I don't mean to get on this bandwagon, but the race cars have just gotten, the price of the race car, the price of the transmissions motors has just gotten so out of sight.
Right.
You're getting $75,000 to $90,000 in an asphalt late model, which is, to me, is totally ridiculous. And it takes people that, or let me put it this way, it takes a lot of young drivers that really don't have a whole lot of talent, but they get in very, very good stuff, and they look a whole lot better than they are.
They got a whole lot of money.
I see, exactly. I don't really truly see that yet in the dirt. I guarantee you there's some cars out there that are 2 or 3 years old, and the motor's probably got a season on it, that can win at Volusia on any given night, or Ocala. And I just don't see it like, you know, asphalt. You fall off a year, man, you just fell way behind the technology.
Right.
And I don't see that quite yet in the dirt stuff. I still think a car that's, you know, a year or two old can still be very competitive on dirt. That's how I see it right now. And I could be completely off base, but that's just how I see it right now.
The problem is you hit the nail right on the head. I mean, that's what's happening. I've seen it over the past few years, mostly in asphalt racing, that it seems like the kid don't have to have any talent, but mom and daddy's got a lot of money, and all of a sudden he's at the top. And I agree 100%. You know, and that's what I say. People don't understand, and I will tell you, I know what you mean when you say, people might say, well, I ain't going down there to talk to Wayne Anderson because he won't talk to me. You're exactly right. You're there to do a job. That's your job. It's the same way me on a Saturday at the racetrack. I'm there to do a job. But when the job's over, I don't have a problem talking to anybody there. And I don't, you know, don't get me wrong. I don't mind socializing and carrying on and making, you know, and laughing and giggling and carrying on. But I have to do a job. And that's what people don't understand. That's what you're doing for a living. And I think once they realize that, they were a little bit more forgiving in the whole situation.
Well, you know, getting back to the asphalt thing, and here's a perfect example was, you know, Patrick Williams, the guy's got some talent, and he was able to get in one of my race cars at the Powell Memorial, and people didn't realize that I had been testing both them cars the night before, and both of them were running almost identical speeds.
Right.
And I put Patrick in it, and he won the race. So it just shows you, you know, there's a lot of talent out there. All they got to do is some of these guys just get in good stuff on asphalt, and they'll be good racers, you know. And I'm glad it worked out for Patrick. He'd been around, you know, like I have for years.
Right.
I was tickled to death. I was very proud of him winning that Powell Memorial. I mean, I've won it before, and I was just glad to see my race car.
Right.
You know, I was able to be a part of that.
Well, one thing's for sure, man. We're so glad to have you dirt racing, and we realize you're asphalt racing, and anytime you're always welcome at Volusia. We know you're coming, that won't be a problem. We got you a parking spot. You're good to go, and welcome to the dirt, my friend.
Well, thanks a lot, and I appreciate y'all having me on this show. It makes me real happy, and like I say, I'll be seeing a lot of you guys over at Volusia. I've after Saturday night, I feel like I really want to go and spend a lot of time over there. So you'll be seeing a lot of me, and I appreciate everything, and anytime you need me, give me a call.
Good luck this week in asphalt. Good luck the following week in asphalt, and we'll see you in about 3 weeks, my friend.
Sounds good. Thank you, Neil.
Thanks, Mike. I don't know if Gene's still on the line or not.
Yes, I am.
Are you still there? I put you on hold so you didn't have to hear it. You could just hear it on the hold line.
Oh. Yeah. No, I was wondering if Wayne Anderson was going to – I think I saw his name in a lineup for an Acura or a Goody's Dash race.
Wayne Anderson has drove trucks.
Yeah, I was wondering if maybe he had any aspirations into going into the Acura.
I don't know. I mean, I'll find out for you and let you know.
Yeah, do that, will you?
I will find out and let you know. I know that Wayne Anderson has ran trucks. He's run some he's run some cup races. He's ran some bush races and stuff like that.
Randy could answer this question, but I think I met the guy a few years ago when they did the show out of – he had a live show down at Hooters one night, and he had some of the race drivers down there.
He may have.
I think Wayne was there that night.
He may have. Wayne is one of the best asphalt racers.
Now, I've seen his name a couple of times in the paper, so it's got to be either Acura or – I wanted to say Bush, but I looked back for this year's lineup, and it wasn't any Bush this year.
Right.
So I wonder if maybe it might have been the old Goody Dash series or Acura.
He hasn't done any. I don't think he's done any Busch this year or any. He drove the Porter Cable truck one year.
Yeah.
The Porter Cable was, I believe, it was number 84. He drove that truck, and I know he drove the car for the gentleman. The guys were out of Orlando. We had them on the show one time. It was I think it was Rinaldi Heating and Air, whatever it was, the heaters, whatever it was, the water heaters or something. He drove their car for a few races, but it was one of them deals where he had to make it on speed.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So,
regularly, yeah.
And you know, with them teams and they're by themselves,
yeah.
It's extremely
and you were tough. Advertising that monster trucks are going to be around?
Monster trucks are going to be in Ocala.
Yeah.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Do you happen to know if Dennis Aniston still drives Gravedigger?
Yeah, I seen him on TV the other day, and I know that there's going to be a Gravedigger at Ocala.
Oh,
I'm not
watch
sure.
Dennis Aniston. I don't know anybody else behind Gravedigger.
I don't know that it's going to be Dennis Aniston or not, but I know it's, I was reading today on the internet, it's $12 per person.
Yeah.
Like I said, OcalaSpeedway.com.
Now, if it's not Dennis, I'm not interested in going.
I hear you.
Sorry about that.
I'll get up there and make a laugh in that thing.
So what else is on your mind tonight?
Nothing.
Oh, you sound so...
I was kind of... Randy called today, and he said he wasn't going to be here, and it was kind of bad.
What's new?
I kind of wanted to take a... kind of wanted to rib him up a little bit about Kyle Busch being a lap down.
Yeah.
And still winning the race.
Yeah, and, of course, his boy didn't do all that great yesterday. Ha, ha, ha.
No.
My voice sunk again.
That's
the trouble with Talladega. If you make a move at the wrong time, uh-oh.
Well, the worst part about it was I thought Little Dale had one of the best cars. Him and Denny Hamlin. They
and then you get in that scrape. Then you get a little bit of damage from that accident. That kind of messed him
He
up.
Still came back. He was, he was 28th.
Yeah.
With four to go.
Yeah, and he finished 10th.
Wow.
And he stood in points, so he didn't lose much.
So,
yeah.
You know, he'd be all right.
Oh, I know that.
We'll go to Richmond this week. They keep talking about a 70 race streak that he hadn't won. Here's what I want to ask him. When was the last time Kyle Petty won? They're not talking about that.
Oh, man. Well, how about a few others that are in there? Derek Cope, Martin Sheppard.
We're on a 70. That's because everybody wrecked. We're on a 70 race losing streak.
Yeah.
And we're never going to win again, everybody acts like.
Oh, I know. It's ridiculous.
Uh-huh. Third in points.
No,
he will win again.
Oh,
very
he
soon.
Will. He's going to win a championship, too, and I hope this is a year.
This could be it.
Yep, because he's consistent, and that's what this racing is supposed to, this championship is supposed to be about.
You want to take a commercial?
Well, I'll let you guys go.
All right, we're going to take a commercial and pay some bills. They got to send me a check.
Okay, Annie, I'll talk to you next week, then.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Are we done? You want to go to commercial now? Let's go. Let's do it. Take commercial, pay some bills, and we'll be right back.
First, from 6 to 9 p.m. at the beautiful Tavern in the Garden, 5123 South Ridgewood Avenue in Port Orange. Wine tasting, beer tasting, and food tasting, along with a silent auction, 50-50 auction raffle, and door prizes. For ticket information, stop by Kilman Jewelers or Wine Styles, or just give them a call at 386-756-4486. Join Lucas Links for an evening of tasting and toasting you won't forget.
Beautiful women all around you, coming towards you down the grocery aisle, standing behind you at the cash machine, getting gas at the convenience store. Sometimes there's even a split second of eye contact, just long enough to crack a smile and think about saying something. But you don't. You let it go and she walks out of your life. You can find her again if you know where to look. Cupid.com. It's another chance to make eye contact. In fact, you can send unlimited eye contacts with a basic membership, which is free. You can receive matches, reply to gold members, and read as many profiles as you want. Most sites make you pay for that stuff. But let's get back to those beautiful women all around you. When you meet someone at Cupid.com, you won't have to travel far to get together because our focus is local. Why would you want to meet someone three states away? It's not necessary. Just look around.
Cupid.com. Sometimes love is closer than you think.
Are you pumped up? Are you fit or fat? Lazy or energetic? Fitness Friday is on WNDB every Friday at 9 a.m. Tune in to ask your questions or just to get motivated. Now Fitness Friday and Bodies Precise Fitness is bringing you the Great American Workout on May 15th. Reserve that day, Thursday, May the 15th, and tune in to Wake Up Daytona Daily and Fitness Friday for updates. Fight back against fat and laziness this May 15th with the Great American Workout and benefit our community.
Wanted high electric bills. Let Broward Factory Service show you how to save money on high electric bills. It's getting warm outside. Want to make sure you stay cool and don't pay a fortune? Time to change out your old AC unit for a new high-efficiency unit. Broward's professionals will help you reduce your electric bill, improve your air quality, and add value to your home. Call your local Broward Factory Service sales office now at 386-257-5692 for a free quote. Broward Factory Service offers more than efficient AC units. How would you like to never pay another air conditioning or appliance repair bill again? How would you like a service partner that promises if they cannot fix it, they replace it? Broward Factory Service can provide the peace of mind that if your air conditioner or appliance breaks down, local trained technicians are on call for you 365 days a year. Broward Factory Service has over 35 years' experience satisfying customers. These service plans can save you hundreds, even thousands. Your local Broward Factory Service team is waiting to answer all of your questions right now. Call 386-257-5692. Protect your home and save money with Broward Factory Service, 386-257-5692. Make sure you watch out for their flyers. Call Trackside tonight at 239-0033, star 1150, or toll free at 1-800-927-0033. And now back to Trackside tonight with Randy, Joe, and Billy.
Well, welcome back to Trackside tonight. I'm Billy the Kid, and alongside me in the studio, we have a special guest, Tanya Moschel, general manager from Volusia Speedway Park. Randy's at the Magic game, and Joe's in Mexico. But we had to take a short break to pay some bills, and while we're talking about paying bills, I want to say congratulations to Johnny Collins, the locomotive out of Jacksonville, Florida. He picked up the Ken Kenny Show at East Bay Saturday night. There was a rainout deal from the first week in April, and $3,000 a win. So I'm sure he could use that money, and he's like the fourth different winner they've had. Last week we had Mark Whitener on the phone with us, who's also from that area, and now this week Johnny Collins was the winner. One of the local racers, Tanya, Rich Pratt. I was talking to Rich Pratt on Friday, and he was telling me that he was going down there to the run because he was running second and the B main with four laps to go. Well, with the show getting rained out, they just picked up right where they were, and I saw Rich Pratt not only made the transfer to the B main with four to go, but he also finished in the top five Saturday night, and that's a good run for a local guy. Rich Pratt, he's actually out of Ocala, but he runs with us mostly on Saturday nights at Volusia Speedway Park.
Congratulations to him.
Yeah, Rich Pratt. He's a good guy. I mean,
good job.
Speaking of the results from Saturday night at Volusia Speedway Park, congratulations to Jeff Buckethead Hunter. Picked up his first late model win at Volusia Speedway Park. He is also out of Jacksonville, Florida. St. Augustine racer Stanton Mills picked up the win in the Sportsman Division, driving the 21 car that's usually in the seat as Shane Williams. But Saturday night, Shane not only drove late model, but he drove a new street stock. Speaking of street stock, your winner was Grady Christian again. And in the four-cylinder class, Tim Shaw out of Umatilla and Big Mac, Charlie McNichol, picked up the win in the mods. Charlie McNichol was on our show a couple weeks ago, and he's trying to get himself a late model ride. And he did a very good, very nice job Saturday to picking up the win in the modified race. And he stood on top of the car and said, this ought to help me just a little bit. Well, you're right, kid. It ought to help you a good bit. And congratulations to you and your dad. And you guys, nobody deserves it more than y'all. And keep your head up. Somebody will give you a ride in a late model, I'm sure, pretty soon. Tanya, what do you got going on this weekend?
Well, we mentioned it earlier. We have the Florida Sprint Cars, and we have a full bill because in addition to the Sprint Cars, we're going to have our UMP Dirt Car Modified, Sportsman, Street Stock, Four Cylinders, and Mini Stock. So six divisions Saturday night, same regular weekly price. So it's a really, really big show. It should be really action-packed. We've had great racing the last few weeks, super, super track conditions. And some of the best racing I've seen on dirt tracks in just about anywhere, three wide, four wide, you name it. They're using every inch of the track, and they're putting on great shows. Coming up after that, on Saturday, May 10th, we'll be celebrating Mother's Day. Mom, we love you. So we're going to have a great program. We'll have the late models back again, which will be exciting for everyone with modified sportsmen, four cylinders, and mini stocks. We're going to have the Crazy Chicks and Cars ladies race. Ladies, come on out, four cylinder cars, and you'll do a few laps around the track. We'll have a little fun with that. We've got some great surprises for the moms, quality brands out of DeLand. The Bud Light folks have put together a little package, and our friends at Cracker Barrel have a package, and we have a few other surprises in store with that. May 24th is our hero night. We're going to be honoring our military, law enforcement, fire rescue, and doing some special things that night to honor them. May 31st and June 1st is our summer sizzler, and that was previously our winter warm-up that got rained out twice, once in January, once in February. we're going to try it again and see if we can't make this thing work in the summertime. And I'm putting together a little idea for that weekend, since it's a two-day show. I've had some fun with what I call tailgating competitions, and I visited with a couple people about it over the weekend. And I think we're going to have some fun with that. We're going to encourage the people that come out, especially those people that love to hang with us in the drive-in area and other areas of the property. We have great camping space and things like that, and we want them to stay with us and cook out and show us what they have to offer. There'll be prizes probably for best selection of food, best appearance, you know, best theme, things like that. So put your thinking caps on, folks, and fire up the grills, because we're going to have a little fun with that weekend. So
that's a big weekend.
That is a big weekend.
The Summer Sizzler, we're going to race Saturday and Sunday.
Saturday and Sunday.
Be $2,500 to win the Street Stocks, $2,500 to win the Sportsman. Like you said, this is usually the race we run in January. We got rained out in January. Then we tried to run it the week after Dirt Car Nationals and got rained out as well. So we're going to give it a go again May 31st, June 1st. And if you want to see some great Street Stock and Sportsman racing, you'll see the best there is in the state and some from out of state. Usually have around 40 to 60 street stock cars and usually somewhere around 30 or more sportsman cars. And like I said, this will be the best of the best. And I tell you what, watching Shane Williams on Saturday night, he has a new street stock car. And he told me in the beginning, he said, I don't know if I'm going to have a ride for the street stock show. And to be honest, when it got rained out in January, he was going to drive Randy Straley's car.
Good.
So now with him having the car, this guy that used to build the cars that Shane was driving showed up Saturday night with a brand-new Camaro, the Triple X1. Shane did good on, I think he ran in the top five in the class Saturday night, and then he was going to run three classes with us. But I would assume that between him, Kevin Durden, Steve Oldacre, Grady Christian, who's been hot, you'll see some really good racing for the $2,500 to win. I would be willing to bet you there's four, five, maybe six or more lead changes for this deal. So it should be exciting.
It promises to be a great show. Really, really great show.
And then to know that we're going to get to eat, too.
We're going to eat.
Are you going to have a food competition?
We're going to have a food competition. Oh, yeah. We're going to have some fun with that. I've done this at a couple of tracks I've been involved with in the past, and we have had some super fun with it. People get really, really creative, team up, you know, put several groups together and put on a really big spread, and then it's really fun. I've had groups that have been in costume and done some things like that just to really support their theme. I had one group one time, their whole area was done up in neon lights. They had the generators going, and they had everything all decorated. It was awesome, and you can have a ton of fun with it, a ton of fun. And we encourage everyone to come out and play with us for that one. So right after that, we're going to have our Faster Pastor event. And this has an interesting little twist to it. We want area pastors to come out, and we'll put them again in four-cylinder cars, have them do some laps around the track. We'll give them an opportunity to show their stuff. But area congregations, we have a unique fundraising opportunity for you associated with this, and we'd love to have you call us at the track and get some more details on that.
Why can't we have, if we're going to have the Faster Pastor, why they got to be in four zones? Why can't they race the church buses?
The church buses.
Yeah, why not?
We'll talk about church
the
buses.
The small
Billy.
Church buses. They don't got to be the big ones. They could be like the vans, the church bus vans, you know, them extended like E-150s and stuff.
We'll do that when UPS starts racing the truck.
Hey, I think... Dale Jarrett raced the truck. I seen it on a commercial. He was dreaming, but he raced it.
Yeah, there you go.
Speaking of this Saturday night, not only will Auto Scrape be in town, but Florida Short Track Report will be in on the premises as well to give Volusia Speedway Park the fan favorite track of the year for 2007. This ought to be interesting.
That's an incredible honor, and I was not involved with the Speedway in 2007 except at the very end of it, but I think I can speak for everyone who was involved last year and in the years prior and the years to come. Thank you to all of the fans who made that award possible for us and voted for Volusia Speedway as the fan favorite.
That's a really nice place. I've been out there a few times.
That's an awesome
facility.
I think
it's going to be a good thing. Tom Sherrill called me last week. He's going to come over. You got to tell them. They're going to give away the fan favorite flagman, and everybody knows that I won. I'm not bragging, but they're going to give that away too, so I might take the week off. Would that be okay?
Feel free.
Well, gee, thanks. That wasn't easy.
Well, that's your reward, right?
Take the night off.
Take the night off. Yeah. Have a great time.
As long as I could take this weekend off, but I can't.
Are you gonna flag then for us? An honorary flagging this weekend?
No.
Oh, come on. Where's your sense of adventure?
I retired from flagging.
Retired.
What you gonna do with your flagman you have now?
He's gonna be the race director.
That won't work.
we'll just swap it out.
This would be real good.
Changing things up keeps things interesting.
This ought to be real good.
No, but it is a good honor for Billy. And Billy, in Billy's case, it is well-deserved.
I appreciate
he's
that.
One of the top flaggers in the country, and not just in this area, but in a lot of areas. And it's an honor that's well-deserved for Billy, and we're really proud that he's going to be receiving it.
I appreciate that. But if you can make it out Saturday night, Volusia Speedway Park is 15 miles west of I-95 on State Road 40. It's on the right. You can't miss it. Like Tanya said, we're going to have sprint cars. We've added the mods this week. It'll be sprints, mods, sportsmen, street stock, mini stocks, and four-cylinders. Six classes. It'll be the first time since week two we ran six classes. But I promise you, you will get your thrill with it being $10 a head. Is that correct, or is it 12 bucks?
No, it's $10. And kids 10 and under are free. Bring the family out. So we want to see you all.
If you have any questions about this Saturday night's racing at Volusia Speedway Park, you can call the track 386-985-4402 or go to VolusiaSpeedwayPark.com. Once again, we want to thank everybody who called tonight. We want to thank especially Wayne Anderson for taking some time out with us, being on our show tonight. If you can't catch the show or you couldn't catch it, you can catch it on RealRacingUSA.com. They real play it tomorrow night at 9 o'clock right after the show with Jack Smith and Rick. Next Monday night, Rick will be on the show with us, as well as Joe will be back from Mexico, and Randy will be back from the Magic Game. Tanya Moschel, thanks for spending some time in here with us tonight, and appreciate you coming in.
Hey, thanks for having me, Billy. It's a pleasure.
The pleasure's all ours. So till next week, so long, everybody. Have a good week, and once again, happy birthday, Dale Earnhardt Sr. Good night.